Welcome back to Building the Bakken. I'm your host, Jason Spies. In our weekly one-on-one feature, we talk with U.S. Congressman Kevin Cramer. And this interview is brought to you by Montana Rig Mat, Montana's original rig mat company. Better mats, better prices. Visit their website at www.mtrigmat.com. That's Montana Rig Mats, Montana's original rig mat company. Check out their website today, folks. www.mtrigmat.com. And now, back to our weekly one-on-one feature with this week's guest, U.S. Congressman Kevin Cramer.
State to state, and it doesn't really matter where I go. There's only one place that I could call my home. Where the night.
Kevin Cramer, kindred.
Kevin Cramer, kindred. All right, close to your hometown. U.S. Congressman Kevin Cramer. Natural gas. Wanted to start off with natural gas. A number of significant investments in the state of North Dakota with natural gas. First off, your comment on the just increased involvement of natural gas.
Well, natural gas, of course, is because it's so abundant, and of course the United States now is considered, of course, having the largest reserves of natural gas in the world. The price, of course, is low, and that's what happens when you have a large supply. That said, it is nonetheless a precious commodity that has lots of applications, and it has especially a lot of applications in our part of the world. It's great when a place, when North Dakota can have a commodity in abundance that is also in abundant demand. Things like home heating, of course, it is the preferred fuel for home heating. For things like generating electricity, when you have low-cost fuel to generate electricity, and let's face it, we are in a high-demand electricity area. But even beyond that, there are opportunities with hydrocarbon application. Certainly, fertilizer we're seeing emerging as a major product. Obviously, it's in high demand here. We're here in Fargo today talking about the rail backlog situation. We'll remember that as we head into the fall, especially what's looking like a very wet late crop, the need for things like propane for drying. You look at agriculture being our largest, still our number one industry in the long run. We are a demand state when it comes to fertilizer. Well, why not produce it right here? We have the feedstock. We have the know-all. We know-how. So natural gas plays an important role domestically right here in our own state. It also presents opportunity in other hydrocarbon business, like plastics as an example. Plastics is one of the areas where if you can use the ethane that's developed and produced right here in North Dakota and strip that out and could we someday have a robust plastics industry? Plastics are low cost to transport, which is good when you're far from markets. So there's potential there. And then I don't think we can ever talk about natural gas without talking about the incredible opportunity it presents for export. And when I talk about export, it's not just about, it certainly is about creating jobs and good jobs right here in the United States of America. But it also presents an opportunity as a major exporter to be the price setter rather than the price taker, to be the country of influence rather than leaving it to Vladimir Putin, for example, in Russia, to be the sole provider of natural gas to much of Europe, to our allies. It provides an opportunity to use the safe, clean energy tool rather than using the dirty weapons of war, if you will, to deal with crisis in our world. So natural gas is a tremendous, tremendous commodity, and we're blessed to have so much of it.
A couple points off that. One is Ron Gibson. He's the chairman, president, CEO of Questar Corporation, also past president of American Gas Association. He made some interesting comments that the abundance of natural gas is so much so that natural gas could be a foundational fuel, not a bridge fuel. However, because it's prudent and smart to have a diverse portfolio, it will never be that. But it definitely opens up that exporting conversation, which right now there is no exporting on natural gas. Is that correct?
Well, there's a little bit there, I think, but very little, frankly. Of course, to transport it, you have to liquefy it. It requires large investments and huge facilities on our coasts. The Department of Energy has been very slow to approve export terminals. They are the agency, regulatory agency of jurisdiction, and so they've been sitting on about two dozen applications that are basically complete, requiring action by the DOE before they go to the next phase. So we don't export a lot of natural gas, liquid natural gas. We don't have the same constraint, however, regulatory constraint on natural gas is on crude oil. So we are allowed to export. We just need to build out the infrastructure to be able to do that, and it does present tremendous opportunity. And frankly, the thing about exporting and being part of the global marketplace, some people worry that that will drive up costs for domestic consumers, and yet if we don't do that, we take away the incentive to produce the product that we have in such great abundance. And when you do that and you constrain it, then you create monopolies and prices go up. So we need to be part of the global marketplace. Certainly North Dakotans understand very well that you can't grow, we can't consume all of the food that we grow in our fields if we put a ban on exporting food. That'd be pretty crazy for our consumers as well as for our producers. Well, the same is true with other commodities such as oil and natural gas. So natural gas presents a tremendous opportunity.
I'm going to tell you one more story that has to do with natural gas, and just get your comment on it from from the halls of Washington, we'll call it that. Jerry Moyes, he's the CEO of Swift Transport. They have 20,000 vehicles. He's trying to convert some of them over to natural gas, and he thought he would be at 10% by the end of the year. He said he'll be lucky if he's at 1%. They have some obstacles. Stephen Ledbetter, he's the president of Jiffy Lube. He presented on some very neat stuff they're doing with liquid natural gas instead of oil in vehicles. It's a higher performance, less emissions, and it's cleaner, et cetera. That's what's happening on a natural gas national level. What are you seeing? Are you seeing some of these filling stations being talked about, or where are we at?
Okay, that's a great question. And what we're seeing is, and I think it's appropriate, we're seeing a slow transition perhaps with fleet vehicles to a conversion to natural gas. And the reason it's been with fleet vehicles, it really, the infrastructure cost to build out, first of all, to change, to convert your fleet if it's not new and not part of the standard equipment, and then, of course, to put in the filling stations, as you say, really requires a demand that can pay for it. And it requires short hauls, because most fleets, if you don't have regular filling stations for a long haul along the route, obviously, you have to be able to go out and come back on a full tank. So that's where you're seeing the concentration. I think it's appropriate because it provides a more market response. Now, there are some that are advocating in Congress for subsidies and some incentives to build out a more robust, filling station, if you will, infrastructure. And I just think that would be dangerous and inappropriate, frankly, for the government to get involved in. But I think if we see fleets, short-haul fleets, and we see it work for them, then you'll start seeing it built out a little bit at a time. I think there's certainly you're seeing more and more of the public transit systems utilizing natural gas as a transportation fuel. Another good laboratory, if you will, for how the fuel could perform as a foundation fuel, as you referred to it earlier.
One more domestic side note. We talked about the transportation fleets domestically at this conference. They were talking about the dual gas and natural gas vehicles, but where you'd actually be able to plug them into your home in the garage at night and fuel them out of your house. And in response to that, already convenience stores are getting more into prepared food business because they're seeing that gas potential possibly not being there. So it's interesting to see this stuff coming down the line.
Well, I think it's evidence, Jason, that markets work, that if a demand is created, an entrepreneur will find a supply for that demand. If a demand changes, the entrepreneur will change with that demand. That said, we have so many of these things in abundance, whether it's coal, petroleum products, the crude oil certainly, natural gas, electricity, of course, which requires some fuel to generate it. I think the real entrepreneur is flexible and meets that changing demand. And listen, I how it is. You're traveling, especially out in the western part of our beautiful state, and you pull in anymore to a Senex station, you walk in, you feel like you walked into a fleet farm, So, oh yeah, and by the way, I'll fill my tank, It's really very cool.
A question on distribution for you. So we have the XL pipeline, we have rail, we have trucks on the road. To me, it seems like distribution is really under fire. Yeah. And I just say this, you can have as much energy as you want, but if you can't get it to market, it does no good.
Yeah. No, it's true of every product, isn't it? Whatever you produce. That's why, you know, today in my testimony, I said, you know, let's not forget we're here because we're blessed. We are, as a state, we produce more of what the world needs than our transportation infrastructure can efficiently move to market. I hope that's a short-term transition, and that in the long run, we will have a more robust transportation system that includes more pipelines, more robust railroad, and certainly more and better highways that can take it. But again, that's, I think, the natural response. Some of the problem.
To listen to the full-length interview with U.S. Congressman Kevin Cramer or other one-on-one features, visit our website at buildingthebakken.com. This week's interview was brought to you by Montana RigMat, Montana's original RigMat company. Better mats, better prices. Visit their website at www.mtrigmat.com. Montana RigMat, Montana's original RigMat company. www.mtrigmat.com.
Now I've been moving around a lot these days, from apartment to apartment, and state to state.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBI Energyservices.com.